For our next speaker, or actually our next topic, is going to be mitigating disasters. What more can land use planners do? And speaking on this topic, we have Shannon Van Zandt. Is that correct? All right. And Dr. Van Zandt is a professor of landscape architect and urban planning at Texas A&M University and a senior fellow of the Hazard Reduction and Recovery Center, where her research emphasizes resilience and recovery with particular focus on how residential patterns exacerbate or mitigate exposure for natural hazards. I just had to read that because that was just amazing. She's the author of 2014 books, Planning for Community Resilience, a handbook for reducing vulnerability for disaster, along with many other articles in journals. So we're honored to have here this afternoon to speak. For those of you that decided to stay with us, I know everybody else went to the rooms. They're probably watching it virtually, right? So they get the credits. So go ahead. You want to stay there?
Thank you for having me. And one thing I've learned about speaking to lawyers or working with lawyers is that y'all are really good at being on time. Like, you know how to speak for 30 seconds and sit down, or for 10 minutes and sit down. I unfortunately don't have that skill, but I'm going to try very hard to stay within my time limits today. So I am here to talk to you about some survey results that we have about what cities are doing in terms of land use planning for resilience. We know there are a lot of tools available, but we really don't know which ones cities use and which ones cities don't use. And of course, as you might imagine, there are a lot of tools available that cities are not using. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today, hopefully. So when I talk about hazards, the intersection of natural disasters with human populations, I think about it and write about it in this way, where we're really looking at three aspects. We're looking at first the hazard exposure, where the hazard is going to hit, what the likelihood is of it hitting any particular place, the different kinds of hazards, all of that sort of thing. But we also want to look at the physical vulnerability. And so that's very familiar to most of us. We think about the buildings and how well maintained they are, whether they're elevated, whether they have certain modifications that make them stronger against wind or against earthquakes or against whatever it is. I do tend to look at flooding and hurricane-related flooding, but of course there's many other types of disasters that this holds for. And then the third area, which is more often overlooked and more recently understood, is that of social vulnerability. And what we're talking about there is really the ability of the household or the community to prepare for, anticipate, respond to, and recover from disasters. And where those three areas overlap, and in other words, where low-income people or neighborhoods of color are located in a floodplain in housing that hasn't been maintained very well, those are hot spots. Those are hot spots that we need to pay attention to as first responders, but also as planners and advocates working with people who are trying to recover from that. So the phrase that I like to use, and you can kind of see it up there, is that low-income people live in low-quality housing in low-lying areas. And certainly for those of us who are from communities that have experienced flooding frequently, we know that this is true, and that's just a convenient way of remembering it. So when I think about how we can reduce vulnerability, and my graphic skills are leave a little to be desired, but the first approach is that we can reduce those overlaps. So I show it in a Venn diagram initially, so that we can understand that where those things overlap are areas of particular interest. And so if we want to reduce that vulnerability, we can pull those areas apart. And that's one area that land use planning is particularly useful. It means that we shouldn't locate residences in the floodplain, right? And everyone I meet who asks me about planning, you know, they're like, well, we don't develop in the floodplain, do we? And of course, you all know that we do. And we often place the mobile home parks or other kinds of low-income housing in those areas. Or it's outside in the county and we really don't have any control about what is located there. And so the number one thing that we can do is not develop at least residential areas in the floodplain or in other areas that are known to be hazardous for whatever reason.